Accession number 20512, Reel 4.
General Tower, Reel 4.
Yes, we were out of fuel, so it was rather a tricky moment to wonder whether we would get back to the Fearless, but we did. And that night, I said goodbye to the Commander-in-Chief and went off to Ethiopia, where I was going to have a 10 days rest before going back to England. Then I came back to England. And then that was the end of my time in Aden.
Did any local people make a request to come out with the British?
I think some did, but not many. No, it wasn't a major thing at all. They wanted to stay.
Were they worried about, were people who had associated with the British worried about what would happen to them?
Oh, I think they were. But they had their possessions, you see, in Aden. And quite a lot of them were quite well off. And they didn't want to go. They didn't know whether which particular faction in Aden was going to win. In fact, one faction won and produced the first lot of government, and then they got assassinated, and the other faction took over. And that went on indefinitely until it was all absorbed by North Yemen. And now it's just the one Yemeni republic. And they still, I mean, if you read of these so-called British citizens being arrested in, or nearly all black people, in fact, being arrested in Aden, it's a very disturbed part of the world. I think it probably always will be.
Did you distinguish very much between the desirability or otherwise of these two factions which were fighting it out?
No, I mean, it was quite clear, which I made very clear to all my commanding officers, and they were all very good, that once we had made the decision and published it that we were going, it was not our affair who was going to run the country after we left. It was up to them to decide. All we could do was to hold the ring and make sure, and this I made a big point, that no more British soldiers were killed in this strictly Arab community, which on the whole worked.
What was the attitude of colonial administrators towards pulling out?
Oh, well, they were very sad about it, but they accepted it, as they were government servants. We had Humphrey Trevelyan, now dead, Lord Trevelyan, who was our last High Commissioner, and he was terribly experienced in everything. He was ex-Indian Civil Service, Indian Political Service. He knew all the ins and outs of the affair, and he was just doing what he'd been invited to do. I mean, he came out, the government called him out of retirement to go out and be the last High Commissioner in Aden. Very good of him to do it.
Why had you replaced this other GRC?
Oh, because it was the turn. I mean, he'd done his 2.5 years, and it was time to put somebody else in. And as the chief of the Imperial General Staff said to me, the military secretary rules these things. He, the military secretary, does all the appointments in the army. And he said it's time for General Willoughby to retire and General Tower to take over this job.
In that case, why was George Brown so annoyed about it?
Oh, I don't know. He said he thought it was silly to change over at this time, but of course he was Foreign Office, nothing to do with the War Office or the Ministry of Defence.
Which do you think was your best time in the army?
I think commanding my regiment in 53rd RHA in 57 and 59 to 60, and Commandant of Sandhurst, my last job.
Why were they the best times?
Well, 3rd RHA had been a regiment which I'd been in before. I'd been in commanding a battery in it. They're all picked people in the horse artillery. And Sandhurst is a fascinating job, training all these young officers. And I'd known it before, because I'd been there as an instructor. And it was very nice to goes back as commandant, and of the 12 companies that were then, 11 were commanded by my ex-cadets, who'd been cadets when I'd been there as a major 17 years before.